Capital 263.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. My name is Dion. This is Technology, a podcast about tech on Capital 263. Free to say it, free to do it. The best podcast network in Zimbabwe, and this is the best technology podcast in Zimbabwe, hosted by teenagers, the one and only. And I'm joined by...
I'm Gary Tindai, Manuel. Wait, I wasn't interested. Okay, let me just do my own thing. Hi, everyone. My name is Gary Tindai, Manuel. Yeah. Then Chawaz.
Really, Gary, you don't have to introduce me. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dion Austin Chawaguta, the one and only. Back at it again with more tech news.
Just call him Chawaz.
No, please don't call me Chawaz.
Chawaz, that's the name. Yeah.
You can call me Bruce Wayne if you want.
No.
Yeah, no one calls me that.
Yeah, but...
Moving on swiftly. A lot of stuff have happened this week. Lots of stuff. One of the biggest things that happened this week was Nintendo back with a bang. Man, companies are just coming back, guys. We had Nokia, we had BlackBerry, and now we have Nintendo. I mean, Nintendo always there, but then...
Can we just leave Nokia the BlackBerry thing?
Yeah, just leave.
I think it's best that we just leave BlackBerry.
I mean,
you've
dragged it in the dirt for a while, so
yeah.
Especially
three weeks straight.
I like how you mock them just after you drag them in the dirt. Like, really,
yeah,
dude.
I mean, there was. I had a soft spot for BlackBerry once upon a time, but then
we all did,
man.
Yeah,
exactly. So yeah,
but the Nintendo's out now. The Nintendo Switch is out, and then you can get it. And then when your parents actually say, "Stop playing on your Nintendo." It actually is correct now.
Ah, finally. Yay! Finally, it's relevant.
It's relevant
Nintendo
one more
Switch.
Time.
I just had to. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's weird because the Nintendo was really quiet for a while. I mean, they were rehashing the same idea over and over again.
Just to go back to the companies doing a comeback. AMD.
Really? Would that be a comeback?
And Motorola, actually.
What? Are you... Oh, wait.
They got the rights to use their name.
Ah, but
we talked about that last week, remember?
I like Moto, though. I think it's like it's not technically follow up because, well.
Hey, him. Back to Nintendo. Ah.
Yeah, we would segue too much.
Yeah, exactly. So back to the Nintendo Switch. The Nintendo Switch is like a semi handheld device, if I may say so.
That's the thing. Okay. It's like it's hard to even tell what it is.
The thing with the Nintendo is that it's a home console. It's sort of like a hybrid home handheld console.
Exactly, so, it's a hybrid.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Like
Gary. Halfway between normal human and between Hulk.
So the Nintendo Switch has got three forms. There's got the basic modular home console form, whereby just remove it, then you put on a sort of like a tripod or module, then you play it on your screen whilst using the gamepad or the funny detachable sticky thing.
The Joy-Cons.
The Joy-Cons, as they sell them. Oh, they're really
So there's a dock, right? There's the actual like console. Yes. It looks like a PlayStation.
When all the parts are assembled and it's one.
Yeah. Yes. Then there's the screen, PlayStation portable looking like thing, the PSP looking like thing.
Yes.
And then there's the Joy-Cons, which...
Yeah, and the Joy-Cons have got sort of pad which actually joins them together. So it's like basically looks like an Xbox pad that's really crusty. Yeah.
Ah. Wow. That's one way of looking at it. I mean, for me, when I looked at the design, I was like, this is quite interesting because it's like it was new, but I always felt like it just doesn't look comfortable. When you look at the Joy-Cons, when they connect it to the screen, it basically just looks like a PlayStation portable, like a PS Vita actually. But bigger.
Exactly.
Much bigger.
Exactly. So now, some of the main concerns with people when they were talking about the Nintendo Switch, they were afraid that the Nintendo Switch wouldn't have enough power to do the things it was supposed to do. I mean, it's a handheld device that was supposed to be powerful enough to run games on a TV. And although technically it's running games at 720 pixels, you know,
it doesn't do full HD yet, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really
but it does full HD on the TVs.
On the TVs.
It does full HD.
Okay.
But the problem is they can't go any further than that.
Because it's not powerful enough.
It's not powerful enough.
You know, is it really a problem though? Because you look at the games that you're running. Do you really need to run Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild at 4K?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, well, I mean, that's
and
the thing.
How many people have 4K TVs? I noticed that companies always forget this one metric.
No, the thing is, if you really love people are actually moving. I've noticed this is one thing that's happening right now. People are gradually moving from just full HD to 2K and 4K. You still remember that other time when 720p was the standard resolution and everything, even on TV, shows were aired in 720 pixels. Do you still remember that time?
I remember the time when things were recorded in 480 pixels.
You see.
I was too young.
Then it went to 720, then 1080. And now we have 2K, and shows are gradually being introduced in 2K and now 4K. And some services are actually catering to 4K.
And 8K. 8K is a thing.
8K is a thing. So we're going up generation by generation.
Nothing mainstream.
We're going up generation by generation.
Yeah.
So currently, I think 2K is starting to become the main standard, even with flat screen TVs. Because very few TVs are coming out with 1080 these days.
You know, what I think is that Nintendo should just, for now, they're okay. Why? Because 1080p is the sweet spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good balance between what you want from, the capability that you have inside the actual processor and what looks nice.
1080p is the standard.
Okay, and
1080p is an absolute standard. If you think about most gamers, I'm talking PC gamers. Sorry, console peasants. I'm talking actual PC gamers. Most of them have 1080p monitors.
Yes,
that's the sweet spot.
That's
so
the thing.
Let's say today I don't want to play CSGO. Today I want to play Mario. Just plug in my Nintendo Switch.
And then you're in.
And then I'm okay. And then also, it also means it's because apparently everyone is doing it now.
Yeah.
It does give them the option of doing a pro version of the Nintendo Switch. Because apparently everyone's doing it now. The PS4
streaming.
Pro, the Xbox, the X-Bone Pro.
Xbox. Hey, wait, it's actually called the Pro now. Wasn't it the...
It's Project Scorpio.
Scorpio,
there we go.
So,
it's slated to come out sometime this year.
They're trying to make a PC out of an Xbox, basically.
They tried to make a PC out of the PS4. But then again...
It didn't work.
You can't do that. Mouse and keyboard master race.
And it couldn't run. Not all games could really perfectly run at 4K.
I'm looking at you, Horizon Zero Dawn.
So there's also the Pro controller that's coming with the Switch.
Yeah, and so now people are complaining. People are saying that what are Joy-Cons? Oh, yeah, the Joy-Cons.
You know,
people are complaining that they're too compact and they're not comfortable, so people are opting for the Pro controller.
I don't think it's more of a complaint, but rather what they were trying to do, Nintendo, is just that people don't understand it. With the Joy-Cons, they're meant to be sort of like a reimagined Nintendo Wii controller, if you think about that.
Wii U or Wii?
The Nintendo Wii.
The Wii, okay.
With their, what are they called? The nunchucks. Yeah, the nunchuck and the Wii remote. Do you remember that combination?
Yeah,
that's what they're
that.
Trying to do. Because most of the games that are supposed to be meant to be used with the Joy-Con controller, the English, most of the games are meant to be
English
using some form of motion control.
Yeah.
Or they're going to be making use of the haptic feedback.
On the actual Joy-Con.
Yes, and you do remember the games that were run on the Wii. Most of them were fitness games, family-friendly games. Wii Sports. I loved Wii Sports.
I love the tennis and bowling.
Yeah, I hear you. But then you don't have to sacrifice comfort just because of that.
Yeah, of course, there's always room for improvement. I think, personally, what I think they should aim for is something more like the, what are they called? The PlayStation Touch controllers?
Yes.
Yes, the one with the glowing ball on top.
So I think, yes.
I think that's more of what you should aim for. But at the same time, I think they also want to be mainstream in the sense that you also want to cater for those people. As a package, it works.
Uh-huh.
In its tablet form, you can't really put a PS, PlayStation Move controller in a tablet form.
Compared to the Wii.
But in the way, if you think about it, for ergonomic sake,
yeah,
you could use a solution like the PlayStation Move for the sake of comfort.
But then that's the thing. Nintendo also released a Joy Pro controller.
Yes,
the Joy-Con Pro controllers is basically an attachment.
No. Like they have a whole new controller as well.
Yes,
totally different from the Joy-Con things. There's an actual controller that looks like an Xbox controller. and that they release.
So now, people.
I don't know why you'd copy Xbox though.
So now, people are kind of complaining that they have to get a separate controller for that, because okay. Picture a hardcore fan. They're probably going to be playing games for hours and hours and hours on end, right? And they're going to be forced to get this controller because the standard controller they have is not comfortable enough. And after a few hours, your hands are going to hurt.
But I saw a review, I think was it from, it should be Tech Raider, and they had an actual hands-on review. The guy was talking about how, like, it looks very uncomfortable, but then you kind of get used to it because even though it's small, it sort of just fits in your hand. So,
I think maybe it depends on the person.
Yeah, because, I think, yeah.
Linus, the guys at Linus Tech Tips, the whole studio complained. Like, the whole studio. Or maybe it's because those guys are PC gamers.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, PC gamers will always be opinionated.
So, yeah. Okay, so the specs for this thing... I think, in my own opinion, it's a glorified it's a glorified tablet, and it has 6.2-inch display.
Gary, can I take this moment to pose a question to you?
What?
Why do you hate everyone's childhoods? Nintendo is my childhood, and you're telling me you hate my childhood.
So?
Nintendo made Mario.
So?
I grew up on Mario.
And?
And I love Nintendo.
So?
So my question is, why do you hate Nintendo?
Why should I love it?
Because they're more.
If you want to hate Nintendo, one of the main reasons you could is that the Switch Pro controller.
No.
It costs $70, by the way.
Exactly. Okay. So they're the Apple. Exactly.
No, like, don't.
No, it's the Apple. They've been doing the same thing for years and years.
Don't talk about the subscription thing because, okay.
Oh, yeah. And then there's online. Okay, so for those who are not aware. If you buy the Nintendo Switch and you buy games and you want to play online, the only way you can actually play online is if you pay this tribute to Nintendo every year. Tribute. It's basically tribute because there's no reason. There's absolutely no reason you should be paying this, but then you have to be paying it to Nintendo. So you pay your Z1, your Zolspot, your Zol people for the internet. You buy your console. You buy your games, and then you're like, "Hi Nintendo, here's money as well." Yeah. I think it's 20. If I'm not mistaken, it's about it's less than $20 a year. It's a small price, but then it's still ridiculous.
No, yeah, it is ridiculous considering but that other platforms.
Comparing it to the other consoles, gents, it's so much value.
No, it's considering it's not.
I think you're just defending Nintendo out of nostalgia.
Okay, yes,
you guys didn't let me finish on the specs for this.
Okay, the specs. Tell us. What are the exact specs?
It's a 6.2-inch technology display running at 1280 by 720 pixels. And maximum resolution it can run is full HD at 60 FPS when plugged in to a TV. So, and it's running a customized Tegra NVIDIA processor. So, yeah. It's powerful. It's pretty powerful, but then I wouldn't say it's in the PC or actual console, like PS4 or Xbox range type of powerful. And it's got USB Type-C for charging, NFC support for Amiibos. Those guys who collect Amiibos, I don't think Zimbabweans collect those.
I have never seen it, yeah.
Yeah, and Bluetooth 4.1.
Ooh, LTE, low energy, LE, sorry.
And HDMI output. I'm actually surprised that something this small has got good HDMI output at 60 FPS at full HD.
You know,
full HD.
Fair and fine. The specs might not be up to par, but then again, think of the games that you're running. Do you really need a GTX 1080 Ti running overclocked with an i7-7700K just to run Mario?
No,
that's when we have to ask this question, because you look at the Pro Controller, you look at the whole idea of this whole console, and you have to ask yourself, are Nintendo trying to compete with PlayStation and Xbox, or are they still trying to be this kind of nostalgic slash casual slash, you know
Nintendo has always been about
more
about innovation than actual specs. Because you remember, the Nintendo Wii itself wasn't as powerful as the PS3 and the Xbox.
But it was a great idea. And it was like a niche.
It worked.
No, My question is, is it future-proof? Considering when at a period in time whereby graphical requirements are increasing generation by generation.
You know, this is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. You don't need photorealistic graphics. Nintendo games are never going to be photorealistic.
Who says
no, but
photorealistic? But then they just need to be future proof in terms of storage. I mean, this console is 32 gigs.
Okay, yeah, you win
of storage.
You
but
win
guys,
the,
but one thing that's okay,
man, like
the storage. The storage, I'd agree, like, it's not. But then, if you look at the whole future proofing thing, it becomes a really pointless argument because they are all doing a terrible job. Sony's PlayStations are rubbish at it. The Xboxes are closest to it because it runs Windows 10. But then.
Actually, I think the PlayStation 4 is more future-proof than the Xbox One because it's slightly slower.
Then therefore, Horizon Zero.
Yeah, but then still, like with the Xbox, they can still optimize. They can still optimize with the software, and I'm not sure how optimized whatever OS PlayStation uses, but Windows is much better because Xbox is gonna move to Windows 10. But then you're looking at it now. How long did the PS4 last? It only lasted from 2012 to 2016, then they released the Pro. The PS2 lasted for more than 10 years, and we're seeing less.
No, that's what I was saying earlier. I'm saying, Kuti, compared to PS2 and PS3, I mean, per generation, the graphical demands and processing demands for every game that's coming out are increasing at a really fast rate compared to the older generations. I mean, look at which generation are we in, 8th or 9th generation?
We're in 8th. You see, now it gets tricky because before it was simple, you know, things every 5 years. But now it's like they release things quickly because things get outdated. You get games that are running on 20 FPS at 720p,
but
and you're like,
you're
so
not
that's
running,
my argument.
You're not running Horizon Zero Dawn on a Nintendo Switch.
That's my argument.
You're running Mario.
Look at the Nintendo DS. I mean, there are some games that have ugly graphics. No lie. Yes.
I love the word. I love the adjective here. Not 8-bit or anything.
Ugly.
No, I'll agree with that. They're terrible. I don't know why they wanted to implement like stereoscopic 3D, but it did not work.
Then we have games that are actually going for photorealistic or good graphics on Nintendo DS. That's the problem.
Which game is this? I don't know this game.
I need to. Oh my word! I did not know about this game.
Google
it right now.
Yeah, but then, like, look, when you look at some consoles, like even the PlayStation, right? When it was released, it was like, okay, right now this is not top of the range, but close to it. But it was going for a price. How much was the PlayStation 4? It was going for about $500.
$499
when it was released. And then now, how much was the PlayStation 4 Pro going for when it was released?
It was going for, I should assume, $549.
$550. They increased the price.
Yes.
But then, does it
like
really?
Apple.
How long will it last though? That's another question. How long will that last? Because if you look at the PlayStation, it's like it's $500, but then it has only lasted for what? 3-4 years? Then you have the PS4 Pro.
Oh, sorry, it's actually on Wii U, not Nintendo.
Yeah, go figure. That makes more sense.
Yeah, Gary.
Get your facts right, Gary. But then it still doesn't change the fact that the hardware requirements are gonna go up. And considering that this game is already against, like, this console is already against the ropes. You should be worried. I'm just saying.
You just keep forgetting what this console is meant to be used for. It's not meant to run all of these complicated photorealistic graphics. It's not going to run the next Call of Duty. It's not going to run the next Battlefield game.
Yeah.
It's just going to run your Mario's, your Legend of Zelda, and you know what, Gary? I want to ask you a question. What do you think of the graphics of Breath of the Wild? Is it not a beautiful game?
No, I'd argue that it's an artistic game. It's an artistic.
Then again, also, yeah,
it's an artistic, but it's not the best.
No, that's the thing. It doesn't have to be the best.
It's just artistic.
As long as what the developer wants you to see is there. Long as, you know what, the art style he's trying to project is there. He doesn't need to make it photorealistic. No one knows what Zelda's face would look like if it was photorealistic. No one knows what Link's face would look like if it was photorealistic. Mario, for crying out loud.
Well, we do know because of the...
You're getting racist. Watch no.
Wait, what do you mean I'm getting racist?
On your way home.
What?
What? Yes.
I'm just saying. Anyways, let's move on.
Yes, hey. Let's moving on.
Let's move on. Let's move on.
Moving swiftly along from along. Gary's English.
We have to still, like, wow. So Dion, yeah. your view is that Nintendo are making the Switch more as this sort of casual device, not like a hardcore PlayStation 4 competitor.
Casual. It's very casual.
Yes. Very casual, eh?
Yes.
Casual. Yes.
So
casual.
So it's a casual home device. Yes.
Yes. Not casual.
So
casual.
Yes.
Casual. We're going with that. I'm sticking with that.
And to all the listeners, TCAP is half Caucasian, so you know it's kind of hard for him to pronounce these words.
But I'm
back to tech.
I find it interesting that you chose the word Caucasian and not
exactly.
white.
Exactly.
But anyways, like we said,
it's
like,
the same
like
thing.
I was saying, it's more of a casual device than it is a hardcore competitor.
I do believe that that's what they're going after. If you look at what was the Nintendo Wii. The original Nintendo Wii targeted at families. And that's what the Nintendo Switch is for.
What about the Wii U, though? That's one thing I never understood. What was the Wii U supposed to be?
It was also supposed to be targeted at families, but...
But then the screen and then...
No. Nintendo... you know what? I think the Wii U was almost like a prototype of the Nintendo Wii, of the Nintendo Switch. It was actually a very... Sort of like a bad, kind of terrible... implementation of the way the Nintendo Switch works, I guess.
Oh, this is my silly theory. What if instead what happened was that Nintendo looked at the Wii and said, wow, this thing is actually amazing. It beat the Xbox 360 and it was actually much better than it, even though the graphics weren't as good. What if we actually tried to compete with Xbox and PlayStation?
Nah.
And then after that, they made the Wii U and the Wii U was like not really good. Then they thought, let's refine this. And not really compete with them, and let's innovate a bit.
Exactly,
because that's how I see it.
It really worked. So yeah,
The Nintendo Wii U was a flop. It was a disaster.
No,
and
I mean
we all
the
know
Switch.
That.
The Switch.
Yeah, the Nintendo Switch. It's also geared at group entertainment. Like, let's say I want to play a game, and then TCAP comes over, Kapumvuti comes over, Gary comes over. We can all play a game together.
Won't.
Yeah, he wants you to have an Xbox. You have an Xbox 360, don't you, Gary?
Yeah, but I just use it as a heater.
Yeah, okay.
Red ring
so,
of
I can confirm that the Switch online service... I love this headline from Wired, and I'm quoting them. Nintendo's Switch online service could cost as little as £14 a year. I feel like someone needs to write an article in reply to this. That says, PC's online services could cost as
little
as £0 a year.
Yeah.
that's the problem. I mean, you're probably spending a lot of cash on the peripherals, the games, and everything. On top of that, you have to pay to play online.
One of these days, we're just going to invite a console peasant, and then we just have an argument, PC versus console.
That would be interesting, but... The issue is that it's kind of straightforward how that goes, like where
of
that
of course,
goes.
PC wins. I mean,
yes, as much as PC might win, it's not. There are some things. As much as I don't admit it, I mean, you can bring a desktop into the living room and play games.
Actually, you can home theater PCs. Just putting this out there.
And, okay, the next interesting thing that happened this
small
week...
Small form factor PCs, just put
that happened this week was a very... I mean, okay, with all the S8 stories that came out and everything and a lot of rumors coming out for different phones, we saw a very interesting prototype about from Protect Packs, and they've basically promised something called liquid glass. Gary, liquid glass. Yes.
Oh, yeah, so should you want me to talk about it, or...
You yes. seem to know a lot about it, because I went through and I was like, I'm the scientist here, but I'm just like, what?
Okay, so Protex PAX is crowdfunding and campaign to do, I don't know, liquid glass. Okay, so it's a gel that's gonna sort of a gel. I don't know how to explain this.
This is hard to explain because it's like it's a gel that you put on your phone and then it somehow makes a screen guard. Yeah, like a screen guard.
So just like those pouches and everything that don't take scratches or anything, it's gonna be able to what? Close up those gaps every time it gets a scratch or
a bump of some sort.
A bump of some sort. And this is also going to be able to protect your screen from what electromagnetic radiation? Yes. And it's surprising.
Won't that affect the cellular activity?
No.
Or anything, Wi-Fi or anything like that?
No. And they're saying it has titanium and aerospace, titanium dioxide and nanoparticles in gel fuel.
Fancy science.
I know, right?
This sounds like some NASA stuff. Like, if someone told me, this is what NASA did, I'd be like, okay, great.
Yeah, cool.
This is what they're saying.
It's a screen protector. How much thought are we putting into screen protectors?
Okay,
now?
So Protect Packs is crowdfunding page describes the nano protector pioneered by Titans Aviation and Aerospace Industries. So, wow. Titanium.
That is a mouthful.
Titanium dioxide nanoparticles in the gel fill microscopic valleys on your smart screen. On your smartphone screen, effectively reinforcing it against bumps and bruises.
But have you? I mean, do you guys know about the whole cornstarch thing, like the cornstarch phenomena, where if you take cornstarch and put in water, is it cornstarch? Should be cornstarch, yeah.
Yes.
If you put in water and then it's like this sort of
emulsion,
not emulsion, like it'll actually dissolve in the water to form this like porridge like thingy.
Yes.
And then it's watery, right? It's like water. But then when you hit it really hard, it'll solidify.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
You know that? Okay, so for those who don't know,
non-Newtonian fluid.
There we go. You'd always have the scientific.
Okay,
template.
So Protect Packs ranks.
Is it like that though?
That's my question.
9H. 9H on Mohs hardness scale, and it's harder than
9H.
Yes.
That's quite.
And it's harder.
That's
than
almost a tin. That's almost diamond, actually.
Yeah, it's harder than a knife blade and a steel file, and lasts up to 365 days. And an added bonus, it protects against electromagnetic radiation and improves touchscreen functionality.
Okay, this is all great. I'm quite interested. I need a new screen guard anyway. How much is it?
The problem is that it's going to cost $40 or above.
$40.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
So
No.
Do you need to reapply it every time or is it just once off thing?
You apply it once every year.
Once every year?
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
But it's not bad considering that, you know, if you get your screen damaged, you're going to end up paying way more than that. Way more than
Let's say you drop your screen maybe like two times. That's already $40 on its own.
Yeah.
Or more. Considering that most phones are coming connected to the screen is going to be connected to the LCD and everything.
Like the S5 has that problem.
Exactly. S5, every Super AMOLED display.
Yeah, every that's the issue that we have.
Every Super AMOLED display is going to be like that. So that means your screen is connected to what? Your LCD and some other components in the phone.
So if your LCD goes bust, that's a new screen as well.
So that's $100 and above. So this is actually going to save you a lot more.
Yeah, in the long run, it will save you a lot more money.
Exactly.
So $40, it's not bad. I think for me, I just need like a demonstration to see, does this actually work? How does it work? Can I actually throw the phone onto lava or something and see how that works?
Looking at some of these claims, they're actually kind of ridiculous. Apparently, it reinforces colors and improves photo quality. Like how?
Well,
how
for
does
those,
this even happen?
For those that want evidence, there's a video on YouTube. So yeah, it's called the ProPax Invisible Protection thingy, whatever.
But no. As I'm saying, some of these claims.
I know, That's the thing.
Improves photo quality.
Every company claims something, so we have to go and investigate ourselves and see what they mean. You know,
I don't know. The listeners can also investigate if they want to.
Yeah, so you
go
can investigate by yourselves.
Yeah. Because that sounds silly.
We can't afford to investigate this.
You speak for yourself, brother.
Did we just go there?
I just defend myself.
Says the guy with the four-year-old phone.
Okay.
My phone is a legend, okay? It's legendary.
Legends. Well, you should bury that legend.
Legends never die.
2012 is calling back for its legend.
Legends never die. Tell that to BlackBerry.
No, Rambe.
I did tell that to BlackBerry. My goodness. Oh, wow. And so with all of this, Facebook has some interesting news as well that we've gone through. So with all of this news, we have Facebook as well. Facebook want to use AI, and this is, I'm always amazed. Like every headline that I hear, and I hear the word, the two letters AI, something's very interesting happening. So Facebook want to use AI to identify suicidal thoughts, which sounds weird, okay? That sounds really weird. But then what they're basically saying is that they've had a very, very, very big increase in the number of Facebook live videos of people basically using their service as a way of saying, of basically using it as a suicide note, then committing suicide, which is really sad. So they want to use AI to kind of note if this is about to happen and what have they been posting, which, yeah, it shows how much control they have over the data.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then, honestly, as much as this exposes that they're controlling or listening or checking on people's data, you know, I think it's actually a good thing, because now people have been, the number of suicides on Facebook live stream have really gone up in the last few months, and people actually, like you said, have been using it as a platform for this, and it's really concerning, especially that teenagers are responsible for this, and yeah, I really think that it's good, but I'm concerned. How exactly does it detect this? Does it use like some form of algorithm, or?
I think two things they'll do. Like, firstly, we know that they're gonna use suicide prevention tools on the actual like Facebook Live, and I have a feeling they'll probably use like data that's already there. Like, they look at your, like, look, dude, they do these kind of things already, so the possibility that they could use the same kind of things to try and, you know, check and say, okay, let's have a look at this guy's post for the past few days. Is there anything kind of sketchier? And probably use that, but that would be kind of weird. But then, I actually, like, when I think about it, if Twitter was to do that, I'd be like, that's wrong. Like, that's something they cannot do at all. But then when I think of Facebook, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's wrong, but then, you know, Facebook is actually capable of that. Like, I have a feeling that they're actually very capable of that.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because, you know, we all know that Facebook is using our data and selling it to advertisers and stuff, but at least we know that we're kind of getting something back from it. Like, they're using it for something that's actually worthwhile. They're using it to protect some of the more suicidal users, I guess. Yeah, it's kind of good, actually.
Plus, the people using Facebook are like teenagers. A lot of people using Facebook, Snapchat.
Yeah, of course.
Teenagers. So then, like, those are the people that have, like, what, a lot of problems with mental health, because it's quite a touchy topic as well.
Just looking at some of the stats from the World Health Organization, it's actually people aged 15 to 29.
Yeah.
For people in that age group, it's suicide is the second most common cause of death.
Most common.
Yeah. It's actually quite depressing.
What's first? Would you know what's first?
I don't know. Drugs?
Flocka?
Flocka. The way we laugh.
But if you think about it, flocka isn't really that... It's not really that common, actually. Just say, I don't endorse drugs.
So
you know, Gary.
21 Savage also said that.
Gary endorses really? Drugs. Really? You're the type.
Would endorsing drugs on the podcast be a bad thing?
I don't know. Really?
No.
You know, it's not like we actively go out and endorse drugs. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Because things are changing with drugs. You know, marijuana is now getting legal and stuff like that is happening.
In Zimbabwe, never.
You never know. Not in this country.
Not in my country.
Okay, So Facebook, like you said, is using an AI to that it's going to detect certain patterns in expressions in the videos. And basically, I don't know how it's gonna do this, but then they say that people, it's gonna notify people, especially family and friends, and they might be able to save the person. It's not to serve God.
Well, they would be serving them though.
Really? And they did this because they were concerned that there's been very little progress in suicide prevention on social networks. I mean, this thing
with all the harassment and
abuse. This trend actually started on what's MySpace and other social networks, and it slowly like creeped its way into Facebook. But then I'm actually really grateful that Facebook is concerned about people's lives and safety. So yeah.
Before I was about to say we should probably stop, but then I just realized there's one thing that we haven't looked at. The what? WikiLeaks dump on the CIA's hacking mechanisms. that was actually a very big story. But
you still remember last week when I told you that for the Mobile World Congress episode, and I said, hey, the CIA has been hacking people, and you're like, oh my God.
Did we say that?
Yes. I specifically remember
I don't specifically remember saying it.
Because I forewarned you guys.
I probably said something close to that, but not specifically.
Yes, I forewarned you guys, and you just said,
Hey, Gary, would you by any chance know a company called WikiLeaks?
Yes.
Like, they might employ you maybe or something?
They probably should. I mean,
I know what you're going to say. How much are they paying me to endorse blah, blah, blah.
No, but then would they need endorsement?
They don't.
They already kind of doing
Trump is already in their case. So,
but the question is now with all the things coming out, like they've, funnily enough, all the exploits that they use, they named them after Pokemon. Including Weasel and Bulbasaur. Those are actually two names that actually were there.
And you know what's funny is that people actually knew this, but then they just didn't have evidence. Obviously, everyone knew that. Everyone in America knows that the NSA and the CIA and the government is tracking their every move and everything. But
and basically,
they don't
that's
have
what's
evidence.
Happening.
That's the problem. And now exactly, evidence was leaked on WikiLeaks. And so, yeah.
Basically saying that the CIA have various tools, viruses, malware, you name it, that you can put on different kinds of phones, from iPhones, Windows phones, Android, especially Android.
And now
Windows
all of
10,
a sudden they've been caught with their pants out.
Samsung devices, especially Samsung devices.
They can put on your phone and they can basically control the camera, mic, all those things and use them to their
advantage. Like I said last week and you didn't believe me.
Gary's dude, it from, sounds weird, man. Like, you say
and the other thing is that the weird part is that they send this software in weird forms. You know, like they trick you into putting it on your phone. You know, it could be an email attachment, you know, attached to another file, and it's really passive when it gets into your phone and you don't even notice it. And that's the weird part. And you know, part of the documents say that companies such as Samsung are specifically being targeted and vulnerable to this software.
Because there's a lot of bloatware with Samsung,
and
so you never know which
and
is
Samsung
which.
Phones as, yeah. And Samsung TVs, and they're actually saying that
the smart TVs as well.
They have a specific, really, I'm close to the mic. They have a specific software. They have a specific software.
Yeah,
meant for Samsung devices. I mean, they implant it on your smart screen TV, and they're able to use the microphone on your TV and hear on what you're saying and what you're doing.
It's kind of weird because some TVs have webcams, so it's
that's also
are you watching
weird.
What I'm doing?
Yes.
Watching me watch TV.
Yes.
What if I'm doing weird stuff with my TV? I don't want you to know what weird stuff I do with my TV.
The smart TVs have cameras, browsing history, internet activities, everything.
And
microphones.
Some TVs have Android on them nowadays.
Exactly. Especially the Samsung TVs.
Because of their Tizen operating system?
Yes.
But then, that's the issue. So,
this guy hates Samsung so much.
So guys, if you're listening to this and you're very interested in your security, here's two simple things you can do to make things better for yourself. When these things happen... Okay, so first of all, when these things happen, you should know that these exploits that WikiLeaks have exposed are old. and the CIA don't use them anymore. They probably use new ones. They have probably made new ones. And this actually helps the CIA more because they will now knowing that they have new ones, the old ones are probably being used by their adversaries, like maybe, I don't know, the Russian KGB, the new one, or, you know, those kind of people, or normal hackers. And they would be like, yes, we have the new CIA hackings, but then WikiLeaks now introduced them and say, this is how you exploit them. And, you know, they are in a better situation. And it's like, what are we going to do about that? But then if you're listening right now and you need to just, first of all, two-factor authentication. Use two-factor authentication. With different platforms, it's different. But then find out how you can do that. On WhatsApp, there's actually a way of doing it. If you go to settings and security, you'll find two-factor authentication. Try that. Put the code in. Remember the code. It'll be really helpful.
It's always important to have two-factor authentication. Personally, I use it for every account that I have, from my Gmail to my Steam account. My Steam account is, like, right next to my heart.
And the other thing is, before you forget,
and it's free.
Use a VPN when traveling on the internet.
Because everyone travels on the internet these
travels,
days.
Yes.
We travel. We don't surf anymore. We travel.
Travel. Yes, you travel.
Surfing is so 90s.
Travel.
Who surfs anymore? Like, we don't even say that anymore.
Who surfs anymore?
Do you even travel, bro? No, but then, yeah.
Dost thou even journey, bro?
No, but then, if you're a heavy internet user, you definitely need a VPN or something to cloak your movements on the internet. I mean, companies are buying and selling personal data and on people. So, yeah.
Gary, do you have any personal recommendations for VPN services that they could use?
Tunnel Bay.
What?
Why?
Tunnel Bay.
No, we are not. We are not sponsored by Tunnel Bay. Not yet. Tunnel Bay, if you're listening, hey, what up?
What up, bro?
Yeah. We can always, you know. But then the problem is that we've already done it. We've already, like, people now know about it, so they'll be like, you're already doing it for us for free.
Tunnel Bay, AdBlocks, and the AdBlocks. Yes.
IPD proxy for me.
Exactly.
Really nice one.
I also recommend, for those who want a simpler approach, I also recommend using Opera VPN. But yeah, personally, I use Open VPN.
Or if you're really very paranoid, just use Bitdefender Internet Edition.
Or Tor.
A bit too much.
If you're really, really paranoid and you want to go on the dark web and stuff, use Tor, the Onion router.
Yes, but don't forget, use Tunnel Bay. The first 500 megabytes are free. Yes.
Gary, where can they find you online?
You can find me online on Instagram. My handle is hugo.kingflaco. And I know, since I usually do, like, just say the Flaco part, I'm going to spell it out for you. Oh. Hugo. H-U-G-O. Then you put a full stop. Then King Flaco. King. K-I-N-G-F-L-A-C-K-O. King Flaco.
Congratulations. Yes. That is correct, Mr. Gary. Spelling bee. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter. That's where I mainly hang out, I guess, online. I am Dion Spring. I-A-M-D-I-O-N-S-P-R-I-N-G. I am Dion Spring on Twitter. And you can follow the podcast on Twitter as well. That's Technology FM. On Twitter and on Facebook, both sites work. www.facebook.com/technologyfm.
And on Instagram is Technology Podcast.
Because Instagram is different.
Yes.
They're just different like that. You can't find me online. I'm literally the social media.
You can also find us on Steam. I'm in Cryptic and Chalkuta.
I am the Night Fury, NIGHTFURY127.
You can find me on Origin. I'm Saint Ugio.
No.
Why are you even using Origin, though?
It would be a shame
if somebody were to leak it.
It would be a shame. It would be a shame.
I actually know your password.
Sorry, guys. I need to clarify.
Why?
Wait, guys.
How?
Guys, I need to clarify this. I don't have Origin. I'm joking. I don't
WikiLeaks,
have Origin.
WikiLeaks, I'm coming for you.
What I do have is Xbox. Because I use Windows 10. So you can find me on Xbox, Saint Ugio. As in UJIO.
It's not like
I'm winking at myself on the reflection over there. How you doing? So yeah, thank you for listening, everyone. We hope to see you again. If you have anything to say, comment, whatever, you can always catch us on those social media sites. And yeah, be free to say it, be free to do it. Listen to many other great podcasts on this network, Capital 263 on capital263.com. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
And now, Capital 263.